of Nedarim. So far, we encountered the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and we know from the Gemara Nedarim also that there's a machlokas about the machlokas, whether or not the machlokas is in the case of Nedarim, in which case it's quite possible that even Rabbi Meir will agree that when it comes to a Nedava, that there's no reason to withhold when it comes to donating through Nedava. Or is the machlokas dafka in the context of Nedava? But even Rabbi Yehuda agrees when it comes to Neder that one should refrain, l'chatchila. And basically what we've done so far is we've pursued two basic approaches to understanding the sugya. One is that this is, certainly the major view in the Rishonim, and that this is all about a chashash takala. We're worried about the consequences of getting involved in Nedarim and possibly even the Davos, the adverse consequences. It still remains to be seen whether or not, and I call that a kind of a risk-benefit or cost analysis, right? You have to figure out what whether or not getting involved in this whole area of Nedarim and the Davos is worthwhile given the risks. Again, that Gemara, that perspective is reinforced by the Gemara in Nedarim itself, on Tesson the base, where the Gemara says, where is the Takala if we're talking about a Nedava? But that one line of the Gemara is really the strongest raya for this perspective. Right? The line here that says that Ki Kamar Abdi Meir B'Neder B'Nedava L'Kamar Baktani Kinid Balsam, etc. And then the Gemara says, but if that's the case, Maishna noder delo dilma asa li day takala, nedavanami lo dilma asa ba li day takala, kehila zaken. And then the Gemara has the whole discussion about me'ila. So that's the Gemara that introduces takala into this whole equation. Apparently the Rishonim were really very powerfully influenced by that. Again, maybe not just by the line of the Gemara, but I mean, when you look at the whole sugya, even starting from the Psukim, of course, the question is, what's the problem? What's bad about Nedarim? So I think when they saw this line, they seized on it very, very enthusiastically. There's nothing wrong with Nedarim. The problem is the possible repercussions, everything else you get involved with. And that's why this became, I think, the dominant view of the Rishonim, who then begin to speak about what those problems are. And that in itself is a separate machlokas Rishonim, as we already saw. How far do you push this idea? What are you worried about? Lo yachel, lo sa'acher, mi'ila, the distinction between the Darim and the Davos, some of the other chilukim that come up. Are you even worried in cases where where the particular circumstances are not problematic, but being ragil bin Darim will end up down the road causing you problems. Right? That's the second argument, the argument between the Ramban and some of the other Rishonim. What if we were talking about Hillel's kind of Nedava? Would that also be subject to these issues and these problems? So that's one whole approach. Now, within that approach, there's still another issue to raise, and Ariel Diamond came to my office the other day and raised the question correctly. We were going to discuss it anyway. And I think he raised it in an appropriate way. Namely, what per se is wrong with the chashash takala? Is that a general halacha that, you know, whenever you engage in some sort of voluntary halachic action, so you always have to figure out, you know, again, this kind of cost-benefit valuation. And should you get involved with this, after all, there are potentially detrimental halachic consequences too. Is that the issue, or is this something very specific to Nedarim? Meaning that the value of the Neder may itself be such that it precludes getting involved in halachic risk taking. In other words, if we see the Neder as a kind of an avoda, right, a way of expanding one's commitment, and not just you know, something intrinsically as a davar shebekedusha, or as being beneficial. It's good because it spurs you, it inspires you, it expands your kabbalah samach shamayim, something of that sort. So then it's particularly problematic when it includes halachic risks, because it might undermine the value of what you're doing itself. Am I representing accurately what you're saying? Do you want to say it differently?
I mean, it is possible that it's also generalizable in places where it's not something where you're being, where you're going outside of the law. Even so, it could be that this, the problem is that any benefit you get, any time you do an essay which involves a serious question, being over and allowed, will involve the same thing. Even without the concept of your adding
on. Oh, okay. You mean you want to say in general,
you know that, right?
When
it's
you
possible
look.
To generalize that way.
Okay. I hear. But but either way, so the point is that it's not a general issue of actions that involve you in halachic risk. It's doing, I guess, voluntary halachic actions. I'm saying it more in a very specific neder context. So that was my perspective, maybe. But again, the issue isn't so much different. In other words, do you lose the value of this voluntary, this kiyum? In my explanation, in this particular kiyum of being makabel by means of nedarim and nedavos, by risk taking. Just to give an example, a couple of years ago, we discussed before Rosh Hashanah, for those who happen to be here, discussed the problem of Rosh Hashanah Shecholios B'Shabbos and the gzeira of Shemi Avrina Dalanamas B'Shus Harabin. So one of the things that's a very difficult idea. So here you have a tkiya shofar with all that goes with it, the kol shofar, uri shenem mishinaska, and zichron shur, and everything else that we, all the powerful themes and messages of the shofar, and shema yavirenu dal ramos brishus harabim, so we refrain from tkiya shofar, and bishloma megillah, all right, that's a din derabanan. Lulav, especially if it's originally was limited to the other days and not Yom Rishon, that might be a din d'rabbanon. That is a din d'rabbanon outside of the Mikdash. But I mean tkiyah shofar. So I tried to explain something similar at the time. Again, that the idea that something like tkiyah shofar would come at the risk of chilul Shabbos is unacceptable from a tkiyah shofar standpoint. Okay. That was the argument at the time. I'm saying something similar now. Ariel is saying it a little more generally. But the point isn't just that, halachic risk-taking is unacceptable. The point is that it may also undercut the benefit itself, whether it's the general benefit or the more specific benefit. I think this idea could be highlighted by a question that the Maariv Chayes asks, actually, in the Darim itself. In the Darim Daf Tesa Beis, Maariv Chayes asks the question on this line of the Gemara, and therefore on the sugya generally, well, we find that the Gemara does discuss in several places, whether choshin l'takala or not, right? The Gemara in Pesachim, Lamed Gimel, another Gemara is in Bechoros. Gemara in several places in Shas discusses the question choshin l'takala or ein choshin l'takala. Again, if I can find it right away, I'll quote it. But if not, you can look it up. Choshin or ein choshin l'takala. So how come the Gemara here in Nedarim is not simply dependent upon that general question? Seems to be the same issue. Dimasa de Takala nearby ene afagav de Rainu, this is the Maariv Chayes speaking. Afagav de Rainu Yuma Samaklav, Amad Aleph, Psakim Khafu the Bay, some other the Takala who plukta the Tanai, in Khoshimolav, the Kam Pshitale Hashas, the Khosh the Takala. The nearly the Hasam a Takala who Shiabar Isur Kumva Se. Zaika the Lo Khoshu Divada Yizka. About Khan, Takola da Bal Ta'acher of the Sheva Altasa. So the Kulal Machashu. But then the problem is going to be Al Mashakas of Rashi Khan, not really Rashi, but whoever that is, right? Dibur Maskal Nadava. Rashi says that the problem with Nadava, the Gabi Nadava, Lo Shayach Bal Ta'acher. We'll get back to this in a second. Rashi says there's no Bal Ta'acher Nadava. All the others ask Kvar Tamo Kulam, Hareba Rosh Hashanah Mevuar Dibur Nadava. It's good, and the Dava is also subject to Bal Ta'achim. Ayin Shut Shvus Yaakov, Shut Panim Meiros, Od Kosho Lashitas Rashi, Talakam Henu Giza Vaboda, Im Kain, it's Shuv Vimaisa, the Tali Bepliktan the Tanayim, Bepsacham Vibiyuma, the Kanom Rubipshitas, the Kulama, Kosho the Takala. So basically, the reason he's interested in the Rashi, I'm also interested in the Rashi for another reason, which I'll get to in a second. But the reason that he's interested in the Rashi is because Rashi says that what is the issue here? Not Bal Ta'acher, but Giza Vavoda. So So if you say Giza Vavoda, so then that's the Takala would be Bekumbase. So it's a Takala Bekumbase. Why does it depend on the Shas discussion whether Choshen the Takala or Ein Choshen the Takala? Again, his first answer to the question was that if it's Bal Tacher, so it's Shev Bal Tase. That's different. You're more Choshish for a Takala B'Shev Bal Tase than you are for one where you have to do a Kumbase, which is perfectly understandable. But if it's Giza Baboda, sorry, which it is according to Rashi, but it's not just Rashi. It's also Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos, a few other Rishonim as well. The Rashi, you know, in the Darim isn't really Rashi, so not everybody is so worried about being Miyashev, a very difficult Rashi in the Darim. Personally, I think it's worth trying. I mean, just because he wasn't Rashi doesn't mean we don't know who he was, but it doesn't mean he wasn't an Adam Chashuv. I mean, you know, why not? So, but the point is, if it's not just the Rashi, so then the urgency is greater. The Rambam also says the problem is that of Giza Vavoda. So Maritz Chayes' question is a good question. Why doesn't this depend on the sugya of Choshin or Ein Choshin the Takala? There are some Achronim who answer the question. I don't remember where I saw this, but I saw this somewhere at some point. That, yeah, in Achanami, our sugya depends on Choshin the Takala. And it's according to the Mandam, our Choshin the Takala. Okay. Which means that if you don't pass, not everybody passes Choshin the Takala. Then in Achanami, you'd have trouble with the sugya. Which might be another opening, I might add, to the other possibility of how to read the sugyo, what we were suggesting the other day, which I'll get back to in a minute, namely that it isn't a problem of takala at all, it's really a problem of, per se, of making gratuitous nadarim and adabas. But another way to get out of the whole problem, even according to Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos and the Rashi, to get out of this whole Maritz Chayes question, would be to say the following, and that is that this is a special halacha when you are engaging in, you know, a voluntary performance, if you want to say it Ariel's way, or voluntary key, or if you want to say it my way, specifically if the part of the benefit of Nadarim and the Davos is this increased, you know, Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, this increased Avoda, so then here, the possibility that that will also produce a takala is something to be concerned about. The percentages of you know, your likelihood of actually violating the takala doesn't increase. I mean, that's choshen takala, in choshen takala is also not about percentages. It's about whether or not the risk is worth taking. But the point is that the risk might be worth taking or not worth taking in one context. But where you're dealing with a kiyum which is particularly sensitive to you know, to your total approach to avodas Hashem, so then you might say, well, here this makes no sense. So here the issue of choshen takala would be separated from the rest of the sugya. Let me just add another perspective, which I think goes along the same derech, but it's a slightly different emphasis. The Rav thought that this whole problem of chashash takala in this sugya only made sense if you believe that the takala in question is something that is connected to nadarim itself. In other words, again, I think this is I don't think it's a makar for this. I think this is just instinctive, namely tova shaloti darm misheti dar velo tishalei. Right, the whole parsha is talking about nadar. So he assumed this is a davar pashut, that the risks involved have to be neder risks. If they're just general risks, then what do they have to do with the sugya of nadarim? Now, again, I don't remember, or I don't know whether this is connected to the problem of the Maritz Chayes, but I think it solves the problem of the Maritz Chayes. He was particularly bothered then by two prominent extensions in the sugya, one of course being Baal Ta'acher and the other being Mi'ila. As if you say that the problem of Tova Shalot Hidor Mishet Hidor Lot Shalem is that we're worried about Lo Yachel Devaro, so that's perfectly understandable. That's an internal matter in the Dari. Are you going to make a Neder, whatever benefit that accrues to you? Or maybe it's just a Devaro Rishus and there is no benefit, then it would even be less urgent, but even assuming there is some benefit, let's say. Now the point is, you're also risking, right, layachel, which is the downside of a neder. But when it comes to bal ta'acher, and when it comes to me'ila, those seem to be universal problems. Bal ta'acher doesn't apply only in the darim, right? It applies to other chiyuvim as well, matnas kahuna, and other such things outside of the context of the darim. It's still a bal ta'acher. Moreover, me'ila is a din in kadshim. So if you choose to make a neder legavoa, right, or nedava, and then you're moel, so is that a nedarim halacha or is that a kadshim halacha? Right? On the surface, it's a kadshim halacha. So the Rav was bothered by both of those points. How can you talk about ba'al ta'acher, the risk of ba'al ta'acher, the risk of me'ila, if in fact what we're talking about is a question of nedarim? Now, if you accept the conclusion that he reached was that maybe one's forced to come to the conclusion that these are also nedarim problems, the special din in nedarim of Baal Ta'acher. Now, the truth is, if you look at the parsha in Kof Gimel, in nedarim, in Dvarim, so the Torah says as follows: Ki tidor neder l'Hashem Elokecha, lo ta'acher l'shalmo. Ki darosh yidrashenu Hashem Elokecha me'imach, v'yavecha chet. And then v'chi techdal lindor lo yebecha chet. Motzos asecha tishmar v'yasisa kasher adarta l'Hashem Elokecha, nedava asher dibarta b'ficha. So the Torah speaks about lo sa'acher actually in this specific context. Ki tidor neder l'Hashem Elokecha, lo ta'acher l'shalmo. So it's true that it applies to other chiyuvim as well, but maybe it really does have a special connection, a special link with nedarim. The special in the nedarim of lo sa'acher, and maybe it's actually exported from there to other things. Moreover, brought a raya from Shitas Rambam. I told you to look at the Rambam and the Ramban discussion, Eitan.
The Rambam, the way he formulates it, he says lo yachel and bal ta'acher, which he counts as lo ta'aseh and kuf.
Nunzayin, right.
Which he talks about it as sort of not lying, and under that he includes the darim, shvuo, everything that you say, which seems to imply that this is a larger isser.
Right, but the Ram has a very, very specific shita, which the Ramban doesn't like at all.
I mean, that he counted as one mistake.
Okay, that, and more than that, Oren?
When one makes a neder to give a korban, you're over on Baal Yachel, once you're over on Baal Ta'acher.
Exactly. Rambam Shita and Sefer HaMitzvos there in Kufnun Zayin is that if you wait the Gimel Regalim, right, and you violate Lo Sa'acher, so not only do you violate Lo Sa'acher, but you violate Lo Yachel at that point. And the Ramban says in Nitzas Asei Tzadi Dalid that can't be true. Because what does one thing have to do with the other? You've delayed, but you haven't precluded the possibility that you're going to fulfill the neder. So if the day after the Gimel Regalim, after you violated Lo Sa'acher, you happen to then fulfill Motzos Asecha Tishmar, so good, you still violated Lo Sa'acher. There's no going back on that. The idea of Lo Sa'acher is the delay. But why should you violated Lo Yachel Dvaro? It wasn't Chil Dvaro, you didn't lie. Now, the truth is the Rambam doesn't tell us whether or not you can undo La Yachel by finally implementing the neder afterwards. That's a point in the Rambam that one could debate. But the Rambam does say that you trigger La Yachel even if you haven't precluded the fulfillment of the neder as long as you've delayed it. In any case, the Ramban thinks that is absolutely not correct. In addition, you're right, there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban on another point, and that is whether or not, Nidre Gavoa and the regular Nidarim, the Motzos Asecha Tishmar is separate mitzvos or not. That's also part of the debate between them, which we, and the Ramban has a certain nafkamina, etc. But the Rav thought that the Rambam Shita, namely that Lo Sa'acher triggers Ela Yachel, even though objectively you still may fulfill the neder, that is an indication that Lo Sa'acher isn't just a general halacha whenever you have chiyuvim l'gavoa, but that it has a specific meaning in the context of nedarim. And therefore, allowing the time to lapse of Lo Sa'acher also constitutes a layachel. Of course, this also would underscore something else. That is, we spoke already the other day about the meaning of the pasuk. You know, it sounds in the pasuk like tova shelo tidar, mishat tidar velo tishale. So as we pointed out, what do you mean mishat tidar velo tishale? That's a no-brainer, as they say. Right, meaning mishat tidar velo tishaleim, obviously. So why would anybody think that welching on a neder would be better than not making it at all? So as we discussed then, the Ramban in his parish here in Chaf Gimel in Devarim, not in Nedarim but in Devarim, says that one might have thought that there is some benefit even to the commitment itself. Lefikach yomer hakasuv yishamer b'nidrecha ki afa b'shem zirus b'karbanos hashem asherhem lecha l'ratzon im tidar tava lidechet im lo tishalem osha ta'acha l'shalmo v'im lo tidar lo timatzachet b'inyan klal kafil lo takriv korban kol yamecha liya b'chachet im kein tishmer motzos hasecha, and so on. Haderach zeh amar Shlomo asher tidar neder lo lekim al ta'acher l'shalmo, and so on. Yeah. So the Ramban explains that one would have thought kasher yidru nedarim rabim lios lahem zirus lemitzvah shechash v'lasas v'lo yechashvu b'libam lo das v'lo tvuna lomar ulai lo timatze yadi lahashlim kol eila aval yachshov ke ratzon asher haya lo ve'es nidro yechashev lo letova. Which you mean sincerely at the time. When you're about to get smitten, as Avigdor would say, you're about to get smitten for your misdeeds. So you'll say, Kishgagahi, right? Shayisi savor lahakrivam, who believes shalem nadarti, right? Ata lo matza yad chalasoschein, kiolakim yiktsof al kol nadarecha. So basically, what the Ramban is saying is, and we saw this, the version of this in the Ran and the Darim as well, don't think that the sincere commitment, the desire to expand your avodas Hashem, that counts for something, and even if you're an onus later on, it's not going to be affected. Now, what's interesting is that if you look at the Ramban that I just read, so the Ramban says, because Ribono Shalom will be upset about Kol Nidarecha. Did I just say that? Yeah, that last line. Ki Ho Elokim Yiktsof Al Kol Nidarecha. The Chaval HaMalach HaNizkar Kol Maaseh Yadecha. So the Ran, as we already discussed, emphasizes, no, the whole idea is wrong, because in the Darim, the commitment isn't what's important. The only thing that's important is the Maaseh. And when we read it on Thursday, I said, well, one could have found some sort of, in-between compromise, namely, if you are Nishba, Noder, so the Dibur, the commitment, is what's important. However, a commitment which isn't implemented and executed is a flawed or an insignificant, or maybe worse, commitment. So it's not that everything is a setup for the execution so much as an unexecuted hafla is a flawed or an improper hafla. I think that the Ramban is really saying that. Ramban's saying, if we're being medayik in the language, the kol nidarecha is a negative when you don't implement it. Whereas the Ran is saying, again, I don't know how careful they're being here, but this, at least as formulations, the Ran is saying the call might have been fine, but the implementation is all that counts. So getting back to this just one more second, why am I mentioning this again? It's good chazara, but why now? I just want to bring this into the Rambam issue, and the Rambam and the Ramban issue, actually, in this case. Basically, the Rambam's chiddush, which is that after violating lo sa'acher, you automatically violate lo yachel devaro as well, only makes sense, I think, from the perspective of chilul devarim. Because basically what we're saying is, you've had three regalim, which is the period of Bal Ta'acher, to make up, right, to implement this neder, and you haven't done it. That constitutes chilul dibur. Chilul dibur, the Rambam is saying, is not only when you preclude the implementation of your neder, it's also when we reach a certain point where it's no longer sheva. It's a kind of kumva ase. Not really, but in other words, it's where what I would say, where omission becomes commission. After a certain point, when you haven't done something, you haven't just not done it. You've rejected it. You've refuted it. But that's never true. I don't think that's ever true on a maisa level. That's true on a haflah level. In other words, if I say, well, you violated, you've been mechalal dvarecha, the sheva al taseh, but almost in a kumbase sheva al taseh because of the expectation and the requirement of lo sa'acher, and you've just ignored it. But if I were measuring it from the point of view, not of kol nidarecha, but like the Ran's formulation, everything depends on the actual implementation, right? The fact is that, you know, it's a setup. In other words, I committed myself through a neder to do the following action or not to do the following action, and that action now turns out to be a chiyuv or an iser for me. And now we measure it by whether or not I've done that maisa aveira or that maisa mitzvah or not. It's hard to say, or harder to say, that the lo sa'acher, that the gimel nedarim, the gimel regalim, the chiyuv, is going to turn the maisa into a kind of kumba aseh. You could say that about chilul dibur, when you wait too long and there are other reasons, compelling reasons, if you've had your opportunity. But to say it about on the maisa level, I think, is more difficult. Now, having said that, so let me just go back to the first point, and then I'll take the questions. That is, the Rav's idea, basically, quoting this Rambam, Sefer Mitzvos, was simply to say that maybe you see from the Rambam that Bal Ta'acher, just one more second, that Bal Ta'acher is not just a incidental chiyuv here. In other words, whenever you have the obligation legavoa, that there's a certain amount of, there's a certain time limit, it runs out. But you see, if it triggers loyachel, then it's a nadar malach. That was his idea. But having said that, in light of the way I just explained it, I think that there's an alternative. And that is, even if there's an extraneous reason why you should already have implemented your neder, and even if it's not a hilchos nedarim halacha per se, but it's an overlapping halacha that includes hilchos nedarim and other things, and trumos and maestros and other such things, even if that's the case, it still may turn the chilul dibur into an active one. And then it wouldn't be such a good raya. Yeah.
Let me just explain again the Rambam.
The Rambam, omission, what he says? Yeah, no, I'm just saying like this. In other words, when I say I'm going to do something, until I create a situation where it can't be done, we could look at it in theory as being... the action is being held in abeyance. I haven't done it yet. We can still say I haven't done it yet, which is always a sheva al tasa, until I've taken actions which preclude it ever being done. Right. However, if there's a certain expectation for objective reasons that it be done by a certain point and I haven't yet done it, right? At that point, one could say that it becomes almost, the omission becomes like a commission. I wouldn't say it's exactly kumbase because you're still not doing anything, but ignoring an obligation for such a long period of time when there are pressures for you to do it becomes almost a violation of the commitment rather than a lack of implementation yet of the commitment. That's a very fine and subtle point. What I'm suggesting is that according to the Rambam, lo sa'acher does that to bal yachel. Now the Rav was saying it couldn't do that if the lo ya'acher wasn't also a specific nedarim halacha, and I'm just pointing out the pasuk does speak about lo sa'acher exactly in this context of not making nedarim. What I'm saying now is, since the whole point here is to turn that sheval tasa into something closer to a kumbase, into a chilul dibur as opposed to od lo, kiyem devarav, I'm not so sure whether or not it has to be internal. Maybe even if it was external, that would be true. Danielle had a question before. Go ahead.
Yeah. So just an internal view there in the Ramban al-Torah and this issue of the Ramban versus the Ran, to what extent right. The issue of lo yachel is weighted towards the commitment or the implementation later on.
Right.
So the Ran's approach is being more consequentialist, that the takala will come later. So I don't know if this is certainly not the case in the Ramban on Sefer HaMitzvos, but definitely on the Torah. I think it's duyak that the Ramban is weighted towards the implementation, towards the dibur itself, because he doesn't say that the likoy will come later in case you don't fulfill what you say. He says that which is working in your favor, the machshava tova, is itself pagum,
right.
Because one didn't take into. In other words, it's not just that he says you're, you know, retrospectively your machshava, but you know, you, retrospectively you didn't fulfill it, so your machshava is now bad. Because
right.
At that time, your machshava itself was incomplete. Because you failed, you had all these good kavanas, but intellectually, cognitively, you failed to take into account the risks.
Right. I would also
add
that
itself is
right. I think you're right, number one. And I would just also add, just there appears to me to be a difference in the emphasis. Again, I think the Ran got this from the Ramban, likely, whether he realized it or not. But I think there's a difference in the emphasis. Whereas in the Ran, it sounds a lot more, the Ran and the Darim sounds like oh, it's a shachach v'anas. And, you know, even if he's, you know, his kavanos really are very admirable, and even not just kavanos, but his not just his makshavos, but let's say the way that he, you know, initiated all of this was, you know, betum tuv tam, and it was appropriate in every way. But nonetheless, what's going to be if later on something comes up? Whereas the Ramban, his whole thrust here, and it could be just in a different context. I mean, the Ran's writing on the Gemara in a certain way, and the Ramban is writing in this pasuk here. But for the Ramban, it sounds like, to begin with, you know, the guy's throwing out Nadarim, like there's, you know, no tomorrow. And he means well, you know, but he's not serious, and, which I think is what you're suggesting. So it could be that that's also part of the different emphasis of the Ramban and the Ran. Again, the truth is that the bigger issue of Layachel, and, you know, whether it's connected so much to Chil Dibur, that's a huge, massive issue that goes all throughout, you know, the first three quarters of Masachas Nadarim and the third parak of Shavuos, which are where Inyan Yeshua's Bitui are discussed. So and there are a lot of, you know, internal stiras in all the Rishonim. I mean, you have to try to work them out. But I'm just, you know, plucking out to these two little issues that come up here because I think that they are important as different perspective. But I basically agree with you. Yeah.
When we started the sugya, we had taken a practical approach to Remeir, which is to say that the reason why the pasuk has to say is an alternative to the Ramban here in Devarim,
right.
Is that Australian practical level of.
I mean, asher to tidor v'lo tishalei means with the risk of lo tishalei.
Right.
That's the way the most Rishonim read the pasuk, unlike the Ran and the Ramban.
And then we later took also a more practical approach to Yehuda too, that you know the risk, you know the risk sort of outweighs the.
Or the benefit might outweigh the risk.
The benefit outweighs the risk. So how could we hold up, seemingly hold the both? Because it seems like we're basically, you know, we're taking the same vantage point beforehand. And
I'm not saying they're arguing in Metzias for sure. I don't think they're arguing in Metzias. They're either if it's more of a, you know, what is the if it's a risk. You know, assessment and so on, risk-benefit assessment. So I think that the argument is not about the percentages. The argument is about how worthwhile is the agreed-upon level of risk, given the nature of, you know, risk, halachic risk-taking in general, could be, or specifically, like I was saying before, when weighed against the value of the darim and the nature of the darim. I think that's a question. Mm-hmm. But it isn't a Metzias question, like is it a 60% or a 40% or a 20% or an 80%? That isn't the question. Whatever the agreed upon risk is it worth taking from a Choshen Utakola general standpoint, let's say, if you think like the Maritzkayas and those people, that it's part of a general sugya? Or more specifically, either the way that I was saying it, but Ariel was saying it, which is, you know, this is about something much more specific. You know, do you initiate and volunteer and get involved in this kind of thing when there are risks to take? Or, what I was saying even more so, the specific benefit of a neder in light of this, right?
And that would be the primary focus then if you were there.
Right, exactly. Okay, yeah, one more. Okay, quickly, yeah.
I'm not really sure why the Rambam, or why the Rav, misunderstanding the Rambam, Shabbat al-Tahar, had to be a component of the Dharma.
Well, I think I just said before that I don't think it has to be. Okay, so I probably agree with you. No, I understand it totally what he's saying. I'm just saying Yesh Makom Lachlok. He was saying is, what does Bal Ta'acher have to do with Lo Yachel? Lo Yachel has to do, like the Ramban said. I mean, the Ramban's argument against the Rambam is that Bal Ta'acher is Bal Ta'acher and Lo Yachel is Lo Yachel. And you haven't violated Lo Yachel as long as tomorrow or next week or next year or in 3 years, you still have the ability to fulfill your neder. Right? So the Rav is saying, well, if kind of built into every neder, not just as a din klali of Bal Ta'acher, but a din of nedarim is Bal Ta'acher, there's a din of, the neder itself is defined by Bal Ta'acher, rather than, you know, just the, you know, there being a Bal Ta'acher like there is in other areas of halakha, also in nedarim. So it's almost like the neder includes a time limit. If the neder includes a time limit, then you can understand that when you violate the time limit, that's not only Bal Ta'acher, but it's Layakha. That was the Rav's argument. Mm-hmm. Now in Me'ilah, what are you going to say about Me'ilah? Okay. So Me'ilah is a little more difficult. So the Rav thought, maybe you have to say, well, since there's Hatfasa b'Nedarim Konamos, one of the ways to get maybe the Av Tipus, the paradigm of Nedarim, of Hatfasa, is Karban. So the relationship to Me'ilah is also not just coincidental. In other words, that you make a neder, and then you encounter Me'ilah. No, when you make a neder for a korban, the Me'ilah is part of the neder, because the darim are connected to Nidre Gavoa. In other words, that's what he was suggesting, to explain both of these things. And I think that, again, I don't know, I don't want to say more than I know that he said, but I think you might argue that, I mean, the truth is that in the Rishonim al Atar, I think I mentioned the other day the different formulations. It's, you know, the Ramban, the Rajba, the Ritva. What are they worried about? So some mention, Tosis mentions Me'ilah. Gemara here mentions Me'ilah and the Darim, right? The Ran and the Darim and the Rabbeinu Gershom here in Chulin say right away Bal Ta'acher. Okay, the Ritva mentions Bal Ta'acher. The Rajba mentions Bal Ta'acher. I think the Ritva mentions Me'ilah. Why would some Rishonim, especially when you have the choice, Lo Yachel is a no-brainer. That's obvious. But that's the risk, and that's an internal din in the darim in every way. That we understand. But why would some choose to focus on Lo Sa'acher and others choose Me'ilah? So according to the Rav's approach, that could be very understandable now. Namely, if you really think that the risk has to do with the darim. But again, it's not necessarily what Ariel and I were saying, despite our differences. That's a little different point. I think it works well with it. But he's just saying, even just purely halachically, you know, this is an internal neder. So now the question is, what's more internal to nedarim? Me'ilah? Lo Sa'acher? Maybe the Rambam's perspective? Maybe the Ramban's perspective on Lo Sa'acher? I'll just give you another example of this where it comes up, and I'll take a few other questions. The Achronim asked the question here also in nedarim. The Rashash on Tess on the base asks the question. I think it's the Rashash. According to the Rambam. Rambam holds in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos that even though you need three regalim to violate Lo Sa'acher, but the Aseh you would violate even after one regal. That if you had one regal and you didn't fulfill your chiyuvim, right, you would already violate a mitzvah Aseh. That's Shitas Rambam in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos. So the, let's see if I can find it here quickly, the Rashash here asks, according to that, why do we say Gimel Regalim? Second. Amud Ben, on the Ran. The Ran says, Nadavan Amidum the Pasho Ma'achar Mishalish Regalim. So he says, Lav Dafka, the Gamba Regal Echad Yavar Be'aseh. That's the Rashash. So what's that based on? Because the Rambam has a Shita that in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, where in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos? Anybody have Yud Dalad Yud Gimel? Right? Anybody have the language of the Rambam? I think I brought, did I bring up Olda? No. If you look at the Rambam Yud Dalad Yud Gimel, in, no one has, or on the computer? You have it there? Willie, you have it?
It's a race.
What?
It's a race.
It's a race. That's good, no? Kinesophrin. As long as they're not jumping up the kevesh, knocking each other over. It's good.
Oh, you got it.
God. Vasa Shama Vedesum Shama, that's around this marker. Go ahead. Okay, so Rambam says that you only get the lav if you violate Gil or Gal. It's also clear that it's all, he makes it perfectly clear there that this is not just a din in the Darim and the Davos, correct? So, but the Rambam says you already lose out on a mitzvah saseh earlier, right? When you're pogab, the first regal, and you do nothing. So it's very fascinating. The Rashash says this, that's a takala too. You don't have to wait Gimel Regal. But the fact is that the Rishonim who talk about this all say you have to wait. What's going on here? So again, I'm just speculating on my own. But what I would say is two things. Number one, in the risk benefit question, you might be mechalik between Essen and Lavin. I think that's number one. But more to the point, even if it's a kind of an Isra say, well, let me tell you what some other people say about it. Other people suggest about this question, how come the Rishonim here mentioned Gimel Regalim and not Regal Echad if it's a say? I don't know if they give the answer of Asay and Lav, but others say that if you look very carefully in the Rambam, there's a qualitative difference between Losa Acher and Vevesa Shama. Rambam says Kishe Yifku, right? What language again? Yeah. It sounds like, so some of the, they say in different ways, but some Achronim say, I think Pnei Yeshua says, that the only time you violate the Rambam's mitzvah say if you're already mafrish the karba. If you're mafrish and didn't bring in the first regel, then you violate that say. Whereas Baal Ta'acher applies even if you weren't mafrish at all, of course, after Gimel Regalim. Turi Eben says it a little differently. Turi Eben says, do you have to be on an Ola L'Regel, you have to be an Ola L'Regel in order to violate the Zinim. So for Losa Acher, it's perfectly clear that you don't, right? It's perfectly clear. It seems like you don't. Point is, it's a time limit. It's an obligation to make sure that you don't go Gimel Regalim without implementing your Chiyuv. But being Poga B'Regel may imply that you have to be in Mikdash. You have to be Ola L'Regel and ignore your obligation. Again, it's similar to what I said before about omission and commission. Sometimes, if you're there and you're not doing it, that's different. Or if you're mafrish and you're not bringing it, it's different. The point is, there may be a qualitative difference, an important qualitative difference, between the, it's not just the difference between the assay, you violate the assay in one regal, you violate the lab in three regalim. It's more than that. The three regalim is about your time limit. And the assay is, kind of, it's there, you can do it, and you're kind of slapping the obligation in the face by ignoring it. But it's not a chobas agavra, it's when you actually are there with the opportunity, whether you're already mafrish or whether you're actually paga, you're there, etc. That's the answer that some akronim give. I would say a third answer, in light of what the Rav suggested, again, I don't know whether he would agree with it, but namely, if what we're talking about is something internal to Nadarim, so that certainly doesn't apply to the Aseh. Okay, that's certainly universal halacha. Again, the diuk that I made, which is that, the pasuk here, lo ya'acher, the Gimel Regalim, is talking about in the context of Nadarim. Moreover, it just makes more sense. In other words, what we're saying is there's a kind of a, even if you didn't implement it, there's an implicit time limit. Al Yachol Devaro. But, the fact that there's opportunity and there's even a kiyum in in fulfilling your neder earlier, that is certainly is not a din in the darin. Right? That's a halacha, and it certainly doesn't turn it into a chil devaro on any level, but not in either explanations of what we gave. So here it would be clearer that this halacha just doesn't apply. It might answer another question. I'm speculating totally now. But again, the Rashi here in the Darim, as we explained, says that there's no lo sa'acher for nedava. That's on base. Right? Rashi says it's talking about Giza Vavoda. The crow, one second. The Dabanami, ki amar rezu, karban, asibulide, takala lide, giza vavoda. Avababal ta'acher lo, kalhechad isa, begazad rachmana isa. Okay. That's the Rashi. And then they all ask against this Rashi. It's against the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that there is a din of Baal Ta'acher in the Dabba. Now the truth is that Rashi is problematic here because he seems to say that there's no Baal Ta'acher. But as I said before, the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis also says Giza Vavoda. How come he avoids Baal Ta'acher? So it could be that he's avoiding Baal Ta'acher everywhere. It's possible. After all, the point would be as follows. Nidarim have layachel. Nidava doesn't really have layachel because there's no achrayas. And therefore, the second that you're mafrish, there's no layachel. You say harezu. So what is there? Lo sa'acher. Maybe the Rambam was avoiding lo sa'acher. Again, it would be ironic, since the Rav's best raya about lo sa'acher is from the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot. But I don't think Mishnayis doesn't have to go along with that, or else maybe the explanation is the way I explained it. Either way, what I'd like to suggest is as follows. Maybe one could say that even if there is lo ya'acher in nedava, there's a difference between lo ya'acher of nedava and of neder. Again, the parsha here in Dvarim Chav Gimel is ki tidar neder la'ashem lo ta'acher l'shalmo. It's about nedar. And it's not only that, but I would say in the end, it says Moses Sasekel Tishma Vasisa Kasher Nadarta LaHashem Elokecha Nedava Kasher Dibarta Beficha. But the pasuk it speaks about Lo Sa'acher, the same pasuk as Kitidar Nedar. And I don't just mean that in a technical way. I think also the difference between the Darim and the Davos may lend itself to this distinction, meaning as follows: that again, it's in the nature of a neder, and that's the reason why there's Kabbalah Sachrayas, that it's a Chovas Agavra. And that's why the invisible, you know, time frame is very important. It's all about a commitment. So there's a time commitment to the commitment. But the focus of nedava is the actual hafrasha. Right? So one might say that when it comes to nedarim, there's really a special connection to lo sa'acher. But when it comes to nedava, there's the universal din of lo sa'acher, like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, just like there is in other chiyuvim, l'gavoa. But nothing unique to the definition of nedava itself. In which case, it would work very nicely that when we're looking for the chashash, takola, whatever it is in nedava, so dafka, we don't cite lo sa'acher, mash ein kein benedar. So just as I'm suggesting that the assay of the Rambam may be more universal, I'm suggesting that maybe we could be mechalek also between Baal Ta'acher of Nedava and Neder based on the Pasuk and also based on the Svar. The truth, this idea that, just one more second, that the Achrayas of Neder is different than the Hafrasha of Nedava is something which also needs to be looked at. Again, the Rav is saying that in Reb Chaim, that the hafla of, he thought that the hafla of Nedarim and Nedava were the same. And that the din of Achrayas is kind of an extraneous halacha. In other words, it's more din. Reb Chaim thought that the that the Kabbalah Sakrayas of a neder is a more din of a chiyuv tipul than it is something intrinsic to neder being different than nadava. Neder and nadava the same, just that there's this extra chiyuv, you know, tipul when it comes to nadarim, that you don't have a nadava. And not only that, but maybe even nadava is subject to a kind of layachel, not the actual iser, but the lack of a kiyum neder. Let's say you have a nadava and you make a carbon, you say harezu, and you're mafresh, and it never gets to the mizbeach because something happens to it. It dies, it gets stolen, right? You're not chayv v'achrayas. So at that point, you've completely fulfilled your nadava, or you're just not chayv v'achrayas. Now, do you really have a kiyum of nadava in that case? I mean, the carbon was never brought. Obviously, there's no hakrava, no kiyum for that. But even the nadava, is it lacking? However, there's no kiyum achrayis. You tried your best. You're not obligated anymore, or not? In other words, one, I think, this is an important question in general, especially when you're learning these sugyas more. What is the gap between neder and nadava, and whether or not kiyum achrayis reflects, different approach? Or not. Again, the Ramban here in Chulin, our piece, a very important piece that we already discussed, also discusses, when he discusses his imaginative way of reading the psukim, right? So the way the Ramban reads the psukim is that the psukim themselves are telling you, don't bring a carbon. How does the Ramban read it again, Joe? Don't bring a carbon which is in which the tashlumin and the hafrasha are separate. How do you read the pasuk? Right. You know what I'm talking about. He reads it into the pasuk itself, unlike the Rashi and the Baalei Tosfos. Don't do that. Don't do even that. Hodatayna told mizel mizesh ena noder kaliko parishin of masnisin tani nodev nearly from the Rameir Hachi Midrashi. It's a very beautiful pshat in the Gemara. I mean in the Psukim. Es asher tidar shalem. Right, klomar haneder v'hatashlumim yiu davar echad. Klomar, Shetomar Harezu. When the Pasuk says, Eis Asher Tidor Shalem, it doesn't mean implement your neder. Because implement your neder sounds like it's a good thing to make a neder as long as you're going to implement it. But how can you read it that way according to Rav Meir? So if Rav Meir would have said, for example, Nedava is okay and the neder is a problem, so the way you'd read the Pasuk would be, Eis Asher Tidor Shalem, Klomar, Haneder v'tashlumim yiu davar echad. Klomar, shetomar rezu, shenimsa tashlumim heima neder be'atzman. However, even then, according to the other view in Rav Meir, the tov asher lo tidar klal afilu b'inyan zeh, ela tavi alosecha chulin lazara. V'tismuch aleil v'shokte miyad k'der shoy hillosa. This is the Ramban l'shitaso, that if you have a nedava like Hillel, then there's no chashash at all, then it would certainly be no problem. But it's a beautiful pshat in the pasuk. And that's what it means. Tov asher tidar the tishalem means bring in a dava where the tashlumin and the ischaibus are one and the same. Then the Ramban says v'hutzra chakosiv lomar gimel midos. If you assume that that's also not lechatchila, sheyesh b'neder mashein b'nedava, shaneder yachal lavo lidei layachel. Mashein derech lavo lidei kein benadava. Notice he says ein derech lavo. I don't know whether he means it's impossible. A question I raised before. Bahanadava yachal lavo lidei meila mashein kein beneder sheinu mafrishad sheyavi behem de lazara. Nekach amra kosev tov mizeh umizeh sheinu no der klal. This is very fascinating when the Ramban reads the psukim. The Ramban is saying the psukim are saying, according to this reading of Rav Meir, that there's a flaw in neder and there's a flaw in nedava. The flaw in the neder is layachel. The flaw in nedava is meila. And tov mizeh umizeh, therefore, is not to be noder at all. But one could have said, now let's say you read it the other way. Let's say it's not about takala, right? Let's say it's not about takala. The totally other approach to this sugya that we suggested, which is based on the Gemara in Nedarim Chaf Beis, which says, Kalanoder kilu bana bama. Right, so we explained based on the Ran that the Ran says, "What is noder kilu bana bama?" B'shas Iser Bamos. I should add that, you know, again, Rashi Al-Atar and others as well. Basically, the Yerushalmi, I mean, the Yerushalmi Perek Tes of Chutzadari Malacha Aleph, that the Ran is quoting on Chaf Beis and Aleph, right? Also quotes, you know, also connects it to call no der ki labanu bama, but it sounds like in Yerushalmi, like Rashi here explains in the Narim, and that is a ki labanu bama la avodah zara. But if you interpret like the Ran and the Darim, Kilu, most Rishonim also, Raivid and others, Kilu Bana Bama Shalo B'Shas Heter Bamos. So as we explained, the idea is, forget about Chashash Takala, the idea is there's some problem with hiding behind the Darim or engaging in the Darim when it's not consistent with your religious lifestyle, if that's the issue, a kind of a yara, that's my suggestion, or because you're being oser dvarma mutarim, or because it's a kind of a balance between dvarma mutarim, dvarma, so whatever the explanation is, it's not based on takala. So if you interpret that way, that's the problem. Then the Rambam, for example, makes sense to say that that's the issue. That's the whole second approach to the topic. So what's the... let's say you still want to read the psukim like the Ramban. No. Tov mizeh mizeh, that the Torah is telling us, better not engage in the dar. Right? And it needs to tell you, not the dava, and not neder. Not the dava, not neder. So again, if you explain this question of chashash, the Ramban is very beautiful. Not nedarim, banyachel, not neder, not the dava, me'ila. Fine. But if you say, this isn't about, we're not worried about what you're going to be violating, we're worried about other things, right? So the point may be that what's being described here is the benefit, the relative benefits of neder and nedava. And that is that nedava, as we explained based on the Ramban al Torah in Emor, right? And the Ran again, when he tries to explain nidvas nazirus, is about, reflects greater ritzui and ratzon and the dibos lev, the fact that you don't delay, you're so enthusiastic and exuberant about it, right? Right away, you're mishalim even as you're neder, as you're noder. Right? There's no burden there, it's just a sense of opportunity. So that's one perspective of avodas Hashem. Then the other perspective is the one of neder. So the Ramban al Torah, right, in Emor says, neder generally is associated with a kind of, you know, deal making or es tzara. You know, if you do this for me, Rabbanu Shalom, I'll do this for you. That's why it's Kabbalah, you know, ba'achrayis. Meaning, I'm not being mafresh right now, but it's like, you know, if this happened, Vayidar Yaakov neder, if you do this, then I'll do that.
Conditional.
What?
Conditional.
Conditional. And that's why it's delayed. As opposed to nedava, says the Ramban again, which is, you know, ratzon. And that's essentially, again, the same approach that the Ran is taking in the Darim on Chaf Beis to explain, well, what does it mean, nidvas nazirus? It's attitudinal. But the point is that there is another side to that coin, and that is, in that sense, nidava, in terms of the ratzon, I guess, aspect of it, the nidvas lev is more impressive. But there is another side of it, and that is, you know, what you do in a moment of ecstasy or elation or happiness, you know, a rezu is one thing. But in some cases, the Kabbalah Sachrayis, number one, the fact that I'm going to commit, you know, to make sure that, you know, this is executed. Meaning, if it's Nignav and it's Navad, you know, I'm still going to follow through. That also reflects a greater commitment. And the fact that it is a more, you know, it is a two-phase thing. It commits me in the future. Also, is a commitment component to it. That's in the Ramban. Let me say it this way. I think Donnie here, or Donnie, made the point to me the other day. Go ahead.
But if you, I don't think the Ramban seems to say that neder is greater.
I looked at it again. I don't think that he thinks that neder is greater at all. I do agree with you that he doesn't. That he's not telling us. I think he's just trying to describe. I half agree with you.
On yourself to do it.
I think he's describing the difference between neder and adava.
Okay.
And I think he's totally not taking any judgment.
Second last line, or I think third last line.
So let's read it very quickly. Where is it again? That's Chaf Beis Yutes in Emor. Right? Chaf Beis Yutes, I think. Yeah. Torah says, "Dabar b'nei El Aron v'Avanav b'nei Yisrael le'Martal Ehem Ish Ish b'Beis Yisrael le'Ger Avar b'Yisrael she'Apriv Karbanol le'Kol Nidreihem u'le'Kol Nidvosam Asher Yakriv v'LaShem le'Ola Lirtzonchem Tamim Zachar v'Bakar v'Kvasim u'Ba'izim." So the Ramban comments. He says Rashi says that it's a question of Kabbalah Zacharias, right? Nidreihem Omer Alai. And Harizul Lashon Rashi. On Yerba Einai, he's not disagreeing with Rashi, but he's trying to explain it in. On Yerba Einai, Ba'avur, Shomer HaKosid Lefale Neder Lenedama, Vechen Yomar Bechol Makom Et Parshas Nesachim, Vechen Kiyafli Neder Be'erkecha Nefashos, Vechen Parshas Nazir, Ki Neder Hu Haba Al Adavar Sheyafli Menu Sheyidu La Hashem Batzar Lo, Im Tase Imi Lahafli Lahatzileini Minatzar Azos Avi Ola Ushlamim, conditional, and it's kind of a bargaining chip. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily negative, but that's what Kenyan Vayida Yaakov. I mean, certainly not. I don't think there's any implied criticism of Yaakov Avinu. Chas v'shalom. Vayida Yaakov Neder. This is just what it is. Im Yelo Kini Madi Vayida Yisrael Neder LaHashem. Im Nasam Titein Vayidru Nedarim V'chein Kula. Rabbi Seinu Amru Ezu Neder HaOmer Harei Olai Ola. The Dava is Harezu. Ma be neder the Dava, neder mace, or nigna of Chai Bachri Samachule. Bahagid, Achilik Shabeneim. Kiderecha nodrin, but Sarasam Lomar, in yellow, Kinimadi, Baze, Alai Lasos Olo Zeva. Zeloi Kare, Nedava stop. Vashaya Frishu, Ite Miad, Hu Nedava. Kib Ace Hamtain. And I'm sorry. Ki ve'es hamatan nadva rucho oso. V'nei omer hakosuv ki bein sheyakriv ola o shlamim asher nadar al tzaraso o sheyakriv benidvas rucho yetamim. Oh, this is what you think is the I hear, but I don't agree. Ulai nachshov ki hanadur roi lios tamim yoser min adava. That's what you're interested in, right? V'zeh tam hakosuv. So the Ramban just adds one more line. One might have thought that the requirement of tamim is more of a requirement for neder than it is for nedava. So now he's saying, oh, that implies that he thinks that neder is on a higher level. Right. I'm not so sure about that. It just could be that it's, you know, as a bargaining chip. You know, if out of the, you know, the overflow of your exuberance, you know, nadva libcha and your makriv something. So, you know, we're just impressed with your initiative. No, okay, right. He's just saying that's a different. I don't see it. I hear what you're saying. I think it's intriguing that he has that line, but I'm not sure. I think that the Ramban, frankly, is just describing the difference between neder and nedava, and I don't think he's taking a stance at all. Again, it's open to interpretation, however you think it reads best. I don't think he's taking a stance on the value of one over the other. But he is trying to explain also where the achrayas comes into play and whether it's consistent. So I'm just saying that if you look at it from the other perspective in the sugya, namely, this isn't about takala at all. Maybe we paskin ein choshe the takala. Maybe that's a way of getting out of the line in the darim, or just that there are two sugyas: there's kilabon abama gemara, and there's the takala gemara, and we're operating with this other idea. So then, to explain the psu, is there still, you know, better than the neder and the dava? Are they the same? Are there differences? I would still say there are differences. Why did the Ramban, in particular, and I say that they're, you know, they're two totally different types of avodos. You know, one is based on the diva slave and this abundance of ritsui, and the other is a more measured, you know, but also much more of a commitment, which is why the Ramban says that it has to be tamim. Again, Donnie's taking it a step further than I am, saying the Ramban is really saying neder is on a higher level than the dava. That I don't see, but that he thinks it's, you know, equal and different, I certainly agree. As opposed to the Ran, who seems to be emphasizing that the dava is clearly, you know, much more admirable, because he's contrasting it with, again, nidvas nazir, like sheirim, as opposed to rishayim. Either way, I think that the different perspectives that emerge on the relationship between neder and the dava according to our different discussions, are important. Yeah.
Just go back to the point where you called the Rav's sort of instinctive discomfort with the Ila and about the author external problems, and therefore he wanted to reread everything as internal.
Right.
Just to give another suggestion around the Ila, I would suggest that it's not just you know, that when the Ila happens in the context of a nether, it could be special din, like the Baal Tafer approach that we suggested, just a parallel. Or I think, like you were trying to suggest, maybe it's like the Abtibus, that the paradigm of nether is sort of korban, and therefore in non-korban situations, Atub korban,
right.
We can say it's internal. We might say a third approach, that it's conceptually internal. And what I would say is just that, you know, when what you have with the Ila is that when you elevate something to a certain halachic status, perforce, that the responsibilities and the obligations that it entails are simultaneously increased. From a conceptual standpoint, neder is very similar. In other words, that one takes a neder, it sort of transforms a hobby or conviction into something normative, and perforce, the obligations, the risks,
increase
become much
as well.
Greater. So it could be conceptually internal.
Okay, I hear. That makes sense, yeah.
Just back to the Rav's point, another raya that Baal Tachar may take on unique standing in the context of the Dharam. The fact that Ram also in Yadal Yugimel says that you don't get Malkus for Baal Tachar.
Lashem Amaisa,
but he passes in Hilchos Nazirus that someone who's Mitame, Nazir is Mitame, it's Atma via Dayan, doesn't get Malkus for Baal Tatami and Baal Yachal, but he also gets Malkus for Baal Tachar. So even though normally Baal Tachar is Lashem Amaisa, you don't get Malkus for, maybe
but in the zeros
where you're also getting Malkus for Baal Yachal in that situation.
And what about regular neder?
Regular neder, you don't get Malkus for Baal Tachar.
Right, I'm saying why not, according to this? Why Dafka Naziris? I know the problem. But
well, I'm assuming he's viewing. I guess Naziris as some sort of unique.
Well, which it very well may be.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that much about Nazir. I'm just saying that it would make sense why that special.
The way you're interpreting the Rambam's unique shita by Nazir is a function of it being a unique kind of neder, as opposed to saying there, and such a, it's like the, you know, the quintessential neder, and that's why it even gets malchus for its Baal Tachar, as opposed to a more diluted regular nedarim, right? One could say, of course, the opposite, and that is that had it been a nedarim, then this halacha would apply to nedarim too.
Right.
This is just something special about kedushas nazirus, which is triggered by a hafla, but really ends up being its own chalos. So I think that needs to be.
He doesn't mention the exception of Nazir in Hilchos Ma'aser Korbanos.
Right.
You know, it's not like Baal Yirah where like Rama.
He doesn't have to, because he's speaking generally about the general Baal Tachar in Ma'aser Korbanos, which is again why he mentions the Asay at all, which I'm saying doesn't apply at all to Neder any more than anything else would. I hear it. I'm saying, but that's what you'd have to figure out. Why Nazir versus Nedarim? Is it because it's the ultimate Neder, or because it's the Din Nazir Shabbat? I think it's a good har. Okay, I think we'd have to stop because I have to run. Okay, we just have a couple of other little points to pick up on. The question of Eis Tzara, and again, the Midbar, which we've touched on already, but just to sum up some of the views of the Rishonim, according to the two bigger approaches, and now within the approach of Chashash, we have also, general Chashash based on the benefits of either an initiative or neder, or the Rav's idea that it has to be an internal neder halacha. So I just want to pursue some of these other nafkamina. The double we pretty much did, but the question of Eis Tzara, Midbar, wanted to other little points, and the Rambam Shita very quickly. And then we want to move on to the question of Tahara. Generally, the two Tosasin and the Rambam, and of course the question of Chul Shnasal Taharas HaKodesh, and then Cherev HaRehu Kachal. So that's for Tuesday. Tomorrow we meet at 1:45. We'll do the, we said Avos? Was that what we said? We'll start something, which parent did we say? Whatever we want. Flexibility.
Yeah.
Okay. So 1:45.